Well, I don't know about you, but I absolutely love God's word. It truly is a lamp for our feet and a light for this path on this journey that we call life. One of the things I appreciate most about God's word is how it can meet us exactly where we're at. In spite of using almost 40 different writers throughout his word, one of the common ways that God spoke through all of them is by their use of the symbolism. The Bible is so rich with symbols from nature and everyday living, which God uses to illustrate a point or to challenge our faith. Here's a few examples of what I mean. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Hunger is something that we can all relate to. The simple truth we all understand is that if you don't eat, you die. Spiritually speaking, what we hunger for matters as well. Jesus instructed his followers to be the salt of the world. If you're one who regularly uses salt on your food, you know that it adds flavor. Back in time before refrigeration, salt was also used to preserve or to prevent decay. And as Christ followers, we're to do the same. Throughout the Bible, weather is often discussed. Lessons about storms remind us of life's difficulties. But a pleasant rain shower is used to remind us of how God showers blessings on us. Many Bible characters spent time in the desert or in the wilderness. Anyone who's walked with Christ for some time knows and can relate to those seasons of dryness that life can bring at times. Jesus told stories both about sheep and the shepherd. The good shepherd cares for his flock. He protects them and guides them. And the sheep learn to trust the shepherd, and they regularly listen to his voice. From stones of remembrance to Christ being our cornerstone, the Bible uses examples of stones and rocks to remind us of our firm foundation on God. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a treasure. I'm sure we can all think about that certain item or items which are so valuable to us. God says that the eternal life that he can provide is worth more than all the treasures we possess. But finally, one of the things I've noticed that the Bible talks about over and over again is this contrast between light and dark. Light and dark. Good versus evil. Faith and fear. Truth or lies. Day and night. Salvation or death. Purity versus impurity. Peace or war. God's perspective versus my limited understanding. Hope and hopelessness. Light and dark. It was earlier this fall when this impression of the battle between light and dark started showing up everywhere to me. From reading a famous quote that Martin Luther King said during a dark time in our nation's history, "Darkness can't drive out darkness. Only light can do that." To a slogan I saw on a t-shirt which said, "Invade the darkness. Good beats evil." From a sign along a street advertising a school as a light in the darkness. To a monument I saw in Philadelphia with a quote from George Washington that said, "Freedom is a light for which many men have died in darkness." This contrast was showing up everywhere to me. As I've shared before, even the lyrics of songs that I was listening to at that time announced the same message. One song said, "I know the darkest night can't outrun the sun." A line from a second song said, "Your light has come into my world and buried my dark." And yet another encouraged me with this line, "Your light will terrify the dark. I call upon the name that tears the night apart." So in October, when you as a church sent six of us to West Africa on a missions trip, and Pastor Derek asked me to be prepared to share a message, it was obvious at that time what God had placed on my heart to share. But even after preparing this message on a long plane ride over to Africa, God continued to show me examples after we arrived, impressing this contrast, this battle, this image to me. On our first full day in Liberia, after visiting two churches and an orphanage, we stopped and ate at a restaurant near Monrovia. Even the name of the restaurant, Black and White, spoke of this contrast. While we were finishing our supper there, we were startled by a rather loud boom as a car literally ran into the building we were sitting in. Not only were we sitting just several feet away, but one of our drivers was standing just outside the door, less than a car length away from being struck. With no one actually being injured, including the driver, light clearly won that battle. 2 days later, after entering Sierra Leone, we began our drive from Bow to Metru, where we would spend the majority of our trip. Not only were these the worst roads that I've ever been on, but when it rains in Sierra Leone, it pours. One stretch of the journey took over an hour and a half just to go 17 miles. There were constant holes in the road, which were literally as long as a car, and you couldn't see how deep they were because they were filled with mud and rainwater. Then, as day turned into night, it became one of the most physically dark places I've ever been. There were no street lights, no lights from homes. We were driving through what they called the bush, which is literally wall-to-wall vegetation. And when it finally stopped raining, it was still cloud-covered, so there was no stars and moon out. And the headlights of the car that we were in weren't very good. And then our car broke down. For some time beforehand, the sounds coming from beneath the vehicle that we were in weren't good, but we needed to press on, so we ignored them. There really was no other choice. We needed both of our vehicles to complete the trip we were on throughout the next week. In spite of that need, our car would not be moving anymore on its own. So as we got out and were standing there in the pitch black, in the bush, looking under the car, using our cell phones for just enough light, we discovered that the drive shaft was broken. Using some plastic bags, we tied up the part of the shaft that was hanging down, and luckily the other driver had a tow rope just long enough to tow us the rest of the way, through more holes, mud, and finally up a hill. As some of you already know the rest of the story, after the tow rope broke once and had to be tied again, and in spite of another loud clunking sound underneath our car, we finally made it to a place to park the vehicle. It was late, we were tired, and we checked into our hotel called the Promised Land. Then as night turned into morning, it was discovered that during that final stretch of our journey, that other loud clunking noise we heard was actually the drive shaft breaking off the rest of the way. And now it was missing. Apparently, it wasn't going to be too much of a problem to have someone actually come to where we had our car parked and fix the drive shaft originally. But now with it missing completely, the schedule for the rest of our trip was now in jeopardy. This was a Sunday morning, and Africa is obviously a couple hours ahead of U.S. time. If you were at Devonshire that morning, you remember that Pastor Derek sent a text asking for prayers for our situation. Miraculously, within minutes of receiving a text back from you guys informing us of your prayers, as only God can do, we received word that someone found the person who found the drive shaft who took it back to their village somewhere in the bush. After paying that person to get our drive shaft back, which is, of course, what you do in Africa, a mechanic was able to work on the car where it had been left parked throughout the night. Sunday ended up being a day where we really didn't need our second vehicle, and by Monday morning, the car was fixed. We ended up not having any issues with that vehicle throughout the rest of our trip. As our African brothers and sisters often say, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Even in periods of physical darkness, and throughout the dark times of spiritual battles, and even in the worst of times when they both intersect, our God is still good. His light will always terrify the dark, and his love never fails. Let's open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. As we look to you, if we're honest with ourselves, way too many times we allow the weight and the darkness of our circumstances, the voices in our heads and the influences of the world to allow us to question your goodness. to allow us to give in to the lie that your love does fail. I pray this morning that you would meet us right where we're at, knowing that many people are going through difficult times, and we pray that you, through the words that you've prepared in my heart to share, that we would have a greater understanding of who you are as our good and great God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All throughout God's word, writers in both the Old and New Testament use this image of light and dark. From the very first pages in Genesis, we see this contrast between light and dark as day and night. God created the sun and the moon and the stars because the darkness isn't good for us. Continuing along in Exodus, God showed up to Moses as a bright burning bush. Later, he provided a pillar of fire to guide the Israelites in the wilderness. He even once hid them from the Egyptians with a cloud of darkness. Throughout the Psalms, we're told that God is dressed in a robe of light. As creator, he stretched out the starry curtain of heaven. We're reminded that God's smile shines bright on us. Darkness can come like the deepest gloom, though, and it has the ability sometimes to keep us in chains. In the book of Job, we're told that golden splendor comes from the mountain of God. His light shines on all the earth, but thieves, murderers, and adulterers come out at night. At times, the darkness can feel like it's everywhere. Solomon in Ecclesiastes compared light and dark to wisdom and foolishness. The light is sweet, he said, but people still choose to turn from the right ways and walk down dark and evil paths. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that just as God created both light and dark, he also allows both good times and bad. But we must continue to walk in the light of the Lord, because even in the darkness, we're not hidden from God. Isaiah says that God protects his godly ones, but the wicked will perish in darkness. He also encourages us to feed and help those in need. When we do, he says, our light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be bright as noon. And Daniel, we're told that mysterious things hide in the darkness, but our God is surrounded by light. And finally, as the New Testament unfolds, we're introduced to what all the writers of the law and prophets were directing us towards to get an even clearer picture of this contrast. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John. In John chapter 8, verse 12, we find Jesus making a very clear statement about who he is. John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Wow. Jesus promises us that whoever follows him will never walk in darkness. Jesus Christ, God eternal, wrapped up in flesh, stepped directly into our world and clearly informs us that he is the true light we all need to experience a life worth living. The Apostle John, who actually spent 3 years with Jesus on earth, later testified in 1 John that the life, Jesus, appeared to us, and he is our eternal life. Receiving him makes our joy complete and pushes back the darkness, because God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Just like in our physical world, in the spiritual world, without light, there is no life. For those who believe in the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ as the only way to be saved, God's word says that we've been called out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. This morning, I'm wondering, is there anyone here who's really experienced the life-giving light of Christ? That was really weak. Is there anyone here who's experienced the life-giving light of Jesus? God tells us that we can taste and see if he's a God of his word. God is nothing if he's not trustworthy. I believe God is trustworthy. I do believe he's a God of his word. And he tells us that his word does not go out void. So if God calls us out of the darkness, then why does there seem to be so much darkness in the world and in our individual lives at times? I mean, in just the 4 months since being home from Africa, I've heard of or experienced firsthand the darkness of a fatal drug overdose, the brokenness of failed relationships, the oppression of sexual abuse, and the hopelessness of a suicide attempt. I've had coworkers shot at while fearing for their lives, seen a girl intentionally hit by a truck her boyfriend was driving, and heard the despair of those facing the possibility of losing their job. Why is there so much darkness? I think it's okay to ask these types of questions sometimes, but I think it's even better to search God's word for the answers to these questions. So for starters, let's take a look back at the book of John. John records in his third chapter a conversation that Jesus had about this exact issue. John chapter 3, verses 16 to 21 says this. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what the Son has been done through the Father. According to Jesus, for some of us, the answer to why we're experiencing so much darkness is based off of our choosing to still live in the dark. By not receiving God's gift of salvation through his Son, some people trust their own efforts to find real and meaningful life. In doing so, these people love living in the darkness so that their sins are not exposed by the light of Christ. If this is where you find yourself this morning, maybe it's time to exchange the hopelessness of living for the darkness with the peace that comes when we live in the light. God's love in Christ doesn't just expose our sins. It offers his grace, which brings true freedom and produces in us the only life worth living. Another reason for still experiencing spiritual darkness for us who have accepted Christ's salvation is maybe we're hanging out too close to the darkness, towing the line instead of running from it and clinging to Christ. Listen to how the Apostle Paul addresses this situation in his letter to the church of Ephesus. Now that you are full of the light of the Lord, your behavior should show it. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. There's no lurking around in the shadows of darkness if you want to experience the abundant life that the light of Christ can bring. Another reason our circumstances can feel so dark sometimes is because we have a real enemy who wants us to remain in the dark. Paul, in his letter to the church at Corinth, tells us that Satan attempts to blind our minds so that we're unable to see the glorious light of the good news shining upon us. This battle with the dark enemy isn't some unusual or weird topic reserved for the fringes of Christianity. This conflict is very real and normal because, as author Paul David Tripp describes, our hearts, Our hearts are always the battleground between faith and fear, doubt and hope, between what is true and what is false. And Satan knows that the truth about God's character of love is so overwhelmingly beautiful, so consistent, so reliable, so trustworthy, and so altogether lovely and compelling that anyone who really comes to know God through Jesus Christ will trust him. Because the light of the world is truth, Satan then has to misrepresent. He lies. He deceives us constantly. And he spreads his darkness everywhere he goes. But you are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain glowing in the darkness for all to see. So don't hide your light. Shine bright for Christ, especially for the benefit and the encouragement of our brothers and sisters still struggling in the darkness. Sometimes even the smallest words of encouragement have real value. So don't be afraid to take every situation that you've faced, every obstacle the Lord has enabled you to overcome, and let him use it for the benefit of others, for the advancement of his kingdom of light into the kingdom of darkness. I have one final encouragement for those times where it feels like the darkness is so oppressive. When the hopelessness, when sickness, when the loneliness, the betrayal, when the brokenness of the sin in our lives seems so dark, we need to remember that God's not done working yet. He's a God who steps into our world at just the right time. Your current darkness might be especially gloomy, but there was an even another time in history when it seemed really dark. Maybe even the darkest moment ever on earth. Matthew records that at 12 o'clock noon, darkness spread across the whole land for 3 hours. Just after 3 o'clock, Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, died on a Roman cross. At that moment in time, it seemed like all hope was lost forever. But early Sunday morning, a new dawn broke. The tomb of Jesus was empty. Our Savior of light defeated darkness and sin and death once and for all. Like the psalmist wrote, "Whenever darkness overtakes the godly, light will come bursting in." So whatever darkness you might be experiencing or about to experience, don't lose heart. Our doubts and fears have to answer to the scars of Christ, and he terrifies the dark. Our God can take the darkness of our failures and turn them into a bright future of hope. He can take the shadows of our compromises and restore us to a new dawn of commitment. He can take our messes and make us miracles of his amazing grace. The Lord is our light and our salvation. When life leads us through the darkness, let us fearlessly worship the God of light. Those fears that seem so big in the darkness don't look so scary in the brightness of his marvelous love. So find courage. The darkness has no chance. It will hide in terror at the name above all names. The name of love, the name of salvation, the name of endless light. Jesus Christ, our Savior and our God. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you that you are a God who cares. We thank you that we have a God in the form of Jesus who knows all that we go through, all that we've gone through. He knows our temptations, yet he was without sin. God, we know and you know that this life is difficult. It's not how it was originally created. And it brings with us darkness and unfair circumstances and hurt and brokenness. We just pray that your light would shine bright upon us, Lord, that you but allow us to see you as you really are, and that we would trust you, that we would bring ourselves to explore your word and find the truth that it teaches us about you. God, I specifically lift up our young people to you. God, the darkness that's out there, and the temptations, and the hurt, and through social media, through drugs, through all the stuff that isn't of you, I pray that you would push back the darkness. I pray that they would be a people that come to know you as their Lord and Savior and cling to your light. And they would continue to be the future and be passionate about spreading your kingdom of light. I thank you for your love, for your protection, and for your truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.